Yeah, I think we can wrap the service up now.
Yeah.
It's so funny because what Emmanuel was talking about is like a perfect segue of what we're talking about today, like taking communion. And today we're talking about community, but you mentioned that communion is a family affair, and it's a two-part thing where when we do communion, we're remembering, and then we can't forget, then we get to go and minister and pour it out. It's not just, yeah, thank you, Jesus, for what you did, and we're going to keep it here, but it's actually meant to be now go and heal the sick, raise the dead, preach the good news. So that was a great preface for today's message. Great.
Thank you, everyone who's participated and shared so far this morning. And Madeline and I are going to try and get through this very, very quickly.
We have a lot of slides.
We're
wrapping up the adulting sermon series today.
Yes.
And I just thought, I asked Pastor Cheryl just to open up. Adulting, when was your first moment where you remember thinking to myself, wow, I'm an adult, I'm doing this?
Well, I was telling Madeline, I am the firstborn child, so I've been adult since birth. But, growing up in a home where you have an alcoholic father and a stressed out mother, I think you adult very early in life. And I can remember, very young, mom coming and waking me up at 2 a.m, saying, I got to go pick up your dad in the city and wake me up. And so I had those adulting experiences very young in life. How about you?
Well, I recently moved into a house kind of by myself, and so recently it's like, oh yeah, furnace filters.
Yay!
So, yes. Furnace filters, gas stoves, outdoor stuff. I'm like, wow, there's a lot of learning to do about house.
Very good.
Some house stuff.
All right, so we are wrapping up adulting. I love Pastor Carl's sermon last week about, just because you're adult doesn't mean that you lose your childlike faith and your childlike approach to God, and that we should always approach life with joy and laughter, should always trust that God is able to keep every single one of his promises, and never lose your wonder and awe of God. Even this week, as Madeline and I were preparing the last couple of days to fill in for Pastor Carl, we just came across a few things that really caused me to be in awe of God's creation and what he's done. And so we're adulting, and our topic is adulting in community. So adulting in grace happens in community. And so our idea is that, we've been created social beings. We're connected. And adulting is more than just finding yourself in a community. It's becoming a part of a community. Because you can find yourself in a community, but that doesn't mean you're a part of a community. And for us, adulting in grace happens when you make yourself a part of that community. Amen?
Amen. So ever since creation, everything that lives exists in an elaborate network of relationships. We have a lot of analogies today, but what we were found when we were preparing is everything in nature is literally connected, and one doesn't exist without the other. Everything from nature to our human bodies, it all communicates one thing, that you are connected.
It's so crazy, actually.
Yes.
Yeah, it's crazy. And that existence of anything is always contingent upon relationship. Take me, for example. I'm here because my mom and dad had a relationship. You're here because your mom and dad had a relationship. Everything is contingent upon relationship and connection. Take plants, for example. I got plants.
Yep, the next one.
Okay, so plants are rooted in soil. They reach for the sunlight. They need insects for pollination, and they require wind for spreading the seeds. I said seeds.
there's definitely some spelling in this.
We did this so fast. We didn't do spell check.
But usually she raps on me for my
spreading
smelling,
the seeds. So everything exists in this complex network of relationship. Seeds, if there's no soil, there's no plants. If there's no sunlight, there's no photosynthesis. If there's no insects, there's no pollination. If there's no wind, even wind of adversity, you don't get to sow your seeds of grace and love. Amen? Even if you're a prickly cactus, there's an environment for you where you need soil, where you need sunlight, and where you might need water, and where your seeds get spread.
All right. So what good is a tree that explains that when the roots of trees touch, there's actually a substance that is present that reduces competition? It's not like... Oops, those are mushrooms. So in fact, this unknown fungus helps link roots of different trees, even of dissimilar species, together. If one tree has access to water, then another to nutrients, and a third tree to sunlight, the trees have the means to share this with one another. So, which is really cool.
So you know what makes that symbiotic relationship take place? It's the good old mushroom. Not just good for steaks, but the mushrooms are really, really important to this process. And so when I think about it, the mushroom cap is just the fruit of everything that's going on out underneath. So let's go look at all these mushrooms. Oyster mushroom. There was one that was really funky looking. Oh, like, look at this one here. Looks like an octopus growing out of the ground. Anyways, so there's all kinds of mushrooms, and mushrooms really, we walk around in the forest and don't think anything of it, but they're actually really, really important. And there's this article called The Wood Wide Web. Not the World Wide Web, the Wood Wide Web. And so the Wood Wide Web says, when you think of a mushroom and you think of the cap of the mushroom, the cap is just the fruit of everything that's going on underneath. And so these little mushrooms, I tried to glue them to the plate. These little mushrooms, what they do in the forest is they have little threads, and I'm going to try and say this right, I'm not a biology student, a tiny thread of mycelium. And what they do is they bore into the roots of the trees, and they create something, a network that's called mycorrhizal. So it's a network that transfers nutrients under the ground. And this is what it looks like under the ground. These little mushrooms are all transferring nutrients under the ground. You got anything to say?
Pretty incredible.
And so by nature, mushrooms are carbon suckers. They need carbon. And by nature, trees release carbon. And so there's a mutual benefit taking place here. The mushrooms create those little tentacles and those little networks inside the roots of trees that allows them to send nutrients back and forth, and the mushroom gets fed at the same time. It's crazy. Right?
Yeah, it is. Yes. Crazy. So, so there is such thing. So in a forest, there are actually mother trees, and the mother trees actually have very deep roots, like much deeper roots. And so not only do they have the deep roots to pass the nutrients onto the other trees, but they're actually capable of detecting distress signals from the other trees, and are able to then send what that plant needs so that they're able to thrive.
Isn't that crazy? And all of that because of the mushrooms. Who knew? Who knew a chanterelle was saving a tree down the line somewhere?
So if you flip to the next slide, this is a really cool picture. So the dark green circles, older trees, and then the younger ones are a little bit light in color, but those big trees are able to share all of the, like, the different things that they have.
Yeah. And so this is what they would graft on as what the network underneath looks like. And it's crazy, crazy connected. And so, you know, you can have clumps of mother trees with a whole bunch of mushrooms that are bored into the roots and sending signals and nutrients and everything. But this happens all over the forest. And, you know, there's a thought that, you know, first in nature, then in the spiritual. And nature itself reveals the necessity of connection and being joined to one another. Amen?
Amen.
All right. Kind of reminds, I don't know if you've seen that movie, I think about the fungus, that series called The Last of Us. Anybody seen The Last of Us? It brings whole new meaning to that, you know, mushroom head, apocalyptic zombie attack. Anyways, so we are created for connection. Nature reflects that we are created for connection. We are created for connection. So all you introverts who think that you can do life alone, sorry to disappoint you, you are connected. Whether you like it or not. Your very existence defies isolation.
Yeah, like if you looked at that picture of all the trees, green things connected, if one of them decides to remove itself, it will not survive by itself.
It's so great that nature creates these little networks.
Yeah.
And that God, in all of his infinite wisdom, knew what to do.
And if you take the same idea and you look at the human anatomy and like a heart pumping, like the heart brings in blood and it pumps it out. Like it brings it in and pumps it out. And once it's like, if it's clogged for some reason, obviously, then the whole body begins to shut down because everything relies on it, right? Which is,
it's kind of crazy. And so you think about even the sense of community inside the church and inside human connection. When you think about the bulk of the New Testament, especially Paul's writings, every single one of his letters were written to a community. None of them were written to a single individual, maybe other than Philemon. Maybe that was just one individual. But the bulk of Paul's writings were to the saints at Ephesus, to the saints at Colossus, to the saints at Galatia.
Yeah.
So all of his writings were to a community. And so he didn't address just singular people. He addressed the community at large because that's where connection happens. That's where the life of Christ is manifest and the grace of God is manifest.
Yeah, so we have one body. Did you say this? One loaf, one Father. Did you say that?
No.
You did? Okay. One Savior, one Spirit, one fellowship. And even God, there's the Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. It's just everything together. And when God made humans, you know, he said it's not good for man to be alone. And so we can't thrive in isolation. There's no life in it.
Another scripture that kind of supports this idea of being interconnected and the importance of connection is found in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5. It says, "You yourselves are living stones being built into a spiritual house." We are being built into a spiritual house. My dad was a bricklayer, a blocklayer, back in the day when they laid blocks for foundations and just didn't pour cement to it. And, you know, every single block was important to the structure and the veracity of that wall. If you take out a block out of a wall that's been built, eventually that's going to erode the wall and make it less strong. I was looking for a word, but it escaped me. But it's important. We are being built together as living stones. And so, and two-way spiritual house, anyways, it's going to go somewhere. I just will forget that.
What were you going to say?
I don't know. I can't remember. It left my brain. But we're being built together into a spiritual house, one house. So God has one house, and we are all being built together into it. It might have many rooms, but it's still one spiritual house. Amen? And that through that house, through that community, through those connections, God's able to display his love and his grace.
And what's cool about the living stones is they're not bricks that are all equally in the same size. Living stones are very unique, and that's kind of like the body of Christ is everybody's got different grooves, different styles, but coming together, they make something, and it's our union with Christ. Like we're all one in Christ and to make up something beautiful. But that's also a picture of the body of Christ is we're not all looking the same.
That's right. One of our key verses that we're going to talk about and just kind of hit home this whole idea of connection is found in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 16. And it says, "From whom the whole body," everybody kind of pinch the person next to them, but not hard. "From whom the whole body is joined and knit together by what every joint supplies according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causing the growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love." The whole body is joined together. We're just like the forest. We have these connections with one another. As soon as you become a believer in Jesus Christ, that Holy Spirit in you is like the invisible rope that ties you all together. We are joined together and we are knit together.
So Pastor Cheryl picked up knitting needles.
That word knitting. So, you know, back there in the room, if you can kind of catch it, I haven't knit for like 30 years.
They're also bamboo skewers from the kitchen.
Yeah. Necessity is the mother of invention. But you see this, and it's so intricate. It's not just kind of throwing something together. There's actually movement. There's actually precision. There's actually a result, and I don't want you to look at this really close, but I knit this weekend. I think I found a new thing to kind of keep me busy. But this is knitting. We're knit together. You know, when I was first starting the knitting, I forgot how to cast on. I didn't remember what you have to do to get the little loop started in the first place. And you know, it felt really awkward casting on because I didn't have the muscle memory to do it. It felt really awkward being knit together because I didn't have the muscle memory. But once I got into a few rows, I had the muscle memory. You know, it might be the same for you and I. You might think that you can live in isolation, and it might feel a little bit weird to get connected and to join yourself to people, but it is really necessary. Amen? And you know, it's as easy as pulling this out. And the whole thing unthreads. Let's not be those kind of people, you know? We're knit together on purpose by God Himself. I am knit together with Madeline. Like, she is my girl. She's my friend. She's my sister. She's my
employee.
We're knit together, amen? This isn't some haphazard relationship. This relationship has purpose, it has precision, it has it has intention on purpose, amen?
So from that scripture that we looked at, Ephesians 4:16, we are going to kind of, there's three main points that we're going to pull out. Number one is that connection promotes community. Like, you first have to recognize that you belong to a family, God's family, and then with each other. Number two, mentoring. Connection promotes mentoring. And then number three, ministry. So we'll jump into that. There was this really cool quote. This is Rocha, I think that's his name. He has been studying, he's a clinical psychologist for over 30 years, but I thought this was an interesting quote, that loneliness is not synonymous with chosen isolation or solitude. Rather, loneliness is defined by people's level of satisfaction with their connectedness or perceived social isolation. So it's like you can be a room full of people, but you still feel that you're lonely. Or you're a room full of people and you just feel disconnected. And so without connection,
we don't want that. I don't want anyone in this room not to feel connected.
No. And so without connection, there's no unity and the church cannot function effectively. So what's kind of the stopper that people get into, stuck in their mind, of this loneliness thing? Like, even though you're surrounded by people. And so I think the first thing is that you have to recognize and really own and kind of rewire your brain to remember that you are connected with Christ. Really awesome. Like, we took communion today to remember that we are connected to Christ. And He literally laid down His life for us. Better is it that I go so that I can send you a helper, the Holy Spirit, to live inside of you. And Romans 6, verse 5, it says, "For we have been planted together in the likeness of His death, we shall also be in the likeness of His resurrection." So this was taken from the book, The Gospel in 10 Words, written by Paul Ellis. And one of the words in there is union. And so the word planted in the scripture, it means some futos.
Some futos.
But it's only mentioned once in the Bible.
Once.
And when you translate it, it is the purest form of connection. Like, it's one. And I know Pastor Carl has done sermons about when the Holy Spirit and God comes into you. You literally become one, where there is no lines of definition of, like, this is where Madeline starts, and then this is where God is. It's literally, we're one with Him. So we're connected to Him. So if you play that out in, if you need something, like hope or love or to feel connected, it's not as simple as, because sometimes it's easier said than done, but to remember that when Christ died, He came inside of me. Now I am now one with Him.
Mm-hmm.
So community with God and community with one another.
I love that idea of symphutos, you know, the word union, born together, joint origin. So one Father, one Savior, one body, one loaf, one Spirit. We have joint origin, and we find that in Christ, and we're born together in Christ. And there are actually more than 30 verses in the scripture that speak to this whole idea of union. So you're not just in union with Christ, and whether you like it or not, or whether you like me or not, you are stuck with me, because we are in union. We are connected. We have joint origin. We have joint birth. yes. in Jesus Christ. Amen?
And it's the picture of the mushrooms that we kind of saw. Like, it's we're connected, like our roots are intertwined with each other, which it can be a positive thing, right? Like, if I need something and I don't have it, then someone can send them, detects a distress signal
yes.
and then fills it in. And
you know who that someone is? It's the Holy Spirit. He's going to detect that distress signal and he might lay it on someone's heart. I
yes.
want you to go and pray for Madeline. I yes. want you to do this. I want you to go and just give that person a hug. So inside this community is the working of the Holy Spirit, and he's communicating to you all the time. And there's things and there's needs that are being met inside the community because of the Holy Spirit and because we are in union with Christ and we are all connected. Amen?
Yeah, that's good.
So identity, everything comes out of your understanding of union with Christ. Nothing
yes.
can ever take me out of Christ's hands. Amen? Nothing can ever take me out of Christ's hands. The second thing about connection, promoting community, is that we get connected to others. Ephesians 4:16 in the Passion Translation says this, says, "For his body has been formed in his image and is closely joined together and constantly connected." Well, I can yell.
Yes, for the people online.
Okay. Can you all see that? I don't like it that way. I'll try something different. Can't really see what I'm doing. So that there is a loose connection. That's a close connection. Well, it went much better in practice. But we're not just loosely connected. When you think about it, this can get undone really easily. This loose connection, it can come undone really easy. But this close connection, it takes a little bit more work. And there's no knowing where it starts and where it begins. You and I, we are in close union with one another. We are in close union with Christ. When you see me, you should be seeing Christ. When I see you, I should be seeing Christ. And we should look no different from one another. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
We are in close union. You think about it. Knit together, closely connected to one another. Amen?
It's good news.
Go ahead. Every joint supplying to one another. It kind of reminds me of that song, Them Dry Bones. Anybody know
Does
that?
Does anyone know the song?
Toe bone connects to the foot bone.
I had no idea.
Foot bone connects to the ankle bone. Ankle bone connects to the shin bone. Shin bone connects to the knee bone. I could go on, but we won't do that. But we are connected. Everything in nature, everything in creation speaks to God's desire for connection and unity and communion and community. Amen? Everything is connected. Go ahead.
Point number two is that connection promotes mentoring relationships. So each part of the body must do its work for the whole body to grow and mature. Every member's contribution is essential for spiritual progress and health.
And that can't help if you aren't intentional about helping people to understand and get a hold of their connection to the community of Christ. And mentoring is one of those beautiful things that encourages and promotes community and promotes connection. And so we came up with our own alliteration for mentoring. It's MTC. It's modeling a life with Christ and your life with others. It's transformative in that you help people move their values into practical steps. And number three is capacity development. You know, when you get engaged in a mentoring relationship, hopefully there's the discovery of gifts and talents and how the Spirit's wired you, how God's wired you, so that there's good capacity development so that every single part can do its work. You can't do your work if you don't know what you're created to do. So it's really important. That's why mentoring relationships are so important. That's why connection promotes mentoring, because, you know, we want to equip every single person to do the work of the ministry that God has called them to do.
Yeah, it's one of our values at Impact Churches Discover. So it's everything from In Next Steps to, if you read the Welcome Home book, to Within Small Groups, is we do personality tests because, like I've noticed, Impact Church just has a value for figuring out what you guys have been gifted with, like what are your strengths, so that we can pull it out of you and then help equip you to hone and maximize that strength.
Yeah, very good. I forgot again what I was going to say. I was just going to, oh, that's
stare.
A good point.
Blank
that
stare.
Blank stare. So Madeline, tell me about mentoring for you. How's it been helpful?
Yeah, I did an in-depth mentoring with you probably like 7 years ago, a long time ago. Mm-hmm. And it helped me, like we did multiple personality tests and across the board with all my test results, I was able to then draw similar lines of connection. So like a really big people person, harmony, includer, consistency, and so caring for people. And then there's this other aspect of like discipline and responsibility. So really owning things, getting things done efficiently and in order. But it's funny, yeah, because you're very different.
I'm very different, yes. I'm really strange. but the whole idea is that the whole point of mentoring and the whole point of doing this is that we're trying to mine out of that person the gold that God has put on the inside of them, you know? And so mentoring can be a bazillion different things. And I love mentoring because I see the lights go on in people's lives. I see them make the connections because we'll do a Myers-Briggs, we'll do Strength Finders, we'll do spiritual gifts, we'll do a DISC survey. And when you compile all of those kind of tools that we use, confidently, every woman that we've mentored says, this is who I am, and I can own it. And if I can own who I am, I can confidently connect and do what God's called me to do. And you can clap there. So Moody said this. He said, it's better to train people than to do the work of 10 people, but it's harder. And it's harder because mentoring means you're going to be real. Like, you can't be a mentor if you're not going to be real with a person and really connect and share your life with someone. You've got to be honest about your mistakes, your wins, your losses, whatever. You've got to be vulnerable and you've got to be sacrificial, because mentoring people and helping people to connect with their union with Christ and connect with the body, become efficient in the body and serve the body takes time. Yeah. Amen? It takes time. Go ahead.
Yeah, but it's important. Like, I would rather sometimes do things alone because it can get done faster. But you've mentioned a quote, like, if you want to go far, if you want to go somewhere quick, do it alone. If you want to go somewhere far, then you have to do it with others.
Yeah.
And so if I'm always doing everything by myself and then I drop or something happens, then like, who's picking that up?
Yeah, and I'm the worst for that. Like, I actually am. I should, like, listen to what we're saying, because I'll do everything alone and never ask anyone to help me. So that's, but you have to. If you're leading something, if you're training something, if you're doing anything in the church here, anything in your community, who are you bringing along with you so that they can be enabled to do the same thing? And so mentoring can take on a lot of different kind of, it can look very different. It can have many different looks. It can be formal. We do a formal mentoring process that takes a year, and we go through a curriculum together. You have to read, I know, and all of those kind of things. It can be informal, it can be friendship-like, it can be peer mentoring where you mentor one another, just take someone aside and just kind of pour into their life. It can be vocational, you could be mentoring someone in their job. It can be situational, you could be mentoring someone through a very difficult situation. It can be one-on-one or it can be group, but there are plenty of opportunities to mentor one another and to be mentored in the body of Christ, because connection promotes mentoring. It should be a natural desire. You think about Jesus. He took 12 guys aside and he shared his entire life for 3 years with those 12 men. They ate together, they slept together, they traveled together, they probably went and did all other kinds of things together. Anyways, my mind went down to the toilet. Not in a bad way, you know, people have to do the things. Anyways, go ahead, Madeline.
And then our third point is that connection promotes ministering relationships. So the outpouring, genuine care strengthens bonds and reflects Christ's love. Proverbs 11:25, he who waters will himself be watered. And then Spurgeon did a really good preach on this, but he says that our surest road to our own happiness is to seek the good of our fellow.
Very good. Like, I'm a pastor here, but I on purpose mentor and intentionally mentor people. I tell you, when it says that he who waters others will himself be watered, I have grown exponentially because of my experiences and my connection with the women that we've mentored over the years. And I tell you, I am a different person. I am a better person because of my engagement in the natural connections that are already happening in church. Amen? So my question to you is, who are you mentoring? Yeah, that was to you. Who are you mentoring? And then the next question is, who are you ministering to? You know, a ministering relationship is different from a mentoring relationship. Mentoring relationships are about development. Ministering relationships are about love and care. Very, very different. Although you can love and care for someone in a mentoring, developing relationship, but a ministering relationship is about love and care. It's about when I see on a Sunday morning someone gathered around someone, put their arms around them and praying for them. When people are at the front of the altar here praying for one another. When I see someone come in and there's just this kind of empathetic move towards someone to hug them and to care for them and to express the love of Christ to them. We are in a ministering relationship with people. Amen.
Yeah, and ministering in the kingdom equals multiplication, because you can look at what you have and you're like, it's like I don't have a lot of joy, I don't even have joy for myself or whatever. But when you begin to pour out and to be generous, it is a law that when you give out, it naturally comes back. Like, think about the heart pumping. Like, when you're giving out blood, it's like it's a kingdom law that you yourself are then filled up. Like, he who waters isn't like, then you get watered, and it's a really beautiful kind of flow. But if you choose to remain,
it's like photosynthesis.
Yeah,
you know, it's just this cycle, this giving and receiving and giving and receiving, and you grow, you expand, and you become a better person. So ministering relationships are about caring. They're about bearing one another's burdens. They're about praying for one another. They're about sharing with one another. They're about doing good to one another, about healing, ministering healing, delivering people, and it's looking to the needs of the person beside me.
There's a good quote by Randy Frazee. The experience of authentic community is one of the purposes God intends to be fulfilled by the church. The writings of scripture lead one to conclude that God intends the church not to be one more bolt in the wheel of activity in our lives, but the very hub at the center of one's life.
At the hub. Community should be central to your life. It should be at the hub. Adulting in grace happens in community, because community gives you the opportunity to listen, to share, to grow in your understanding of God's love and grace, and to grow in your ability to extend God's grace and God's love. Amen. He gathers us out of all nations. He gathers us out of all tongues. He gathers us out of all races. He gathers us young and old, and that's the genius of church.
Mm-hmm.
Amen? That's the genius of church. Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. And I was just asking the Lord, like, how do we, like, really own this message? And I think it's almost like, yes, this is information, but the practical aspect of, like, go and do. Mm-hmm. Like, have people over, or, you know, just the application
part. And you do that.
Yeah, you try to do. Mm-hmm. And it can be overwhelming. Like, how am I supposed to care for 500 people or 600 people? But you start somewhere.
And which is really important to us, because if you have noticed lately, the church is growing. And, you know, yeah, that's a good thing. Amen. And there's no way 4 or 5 staff can meet the needs and have mentoring, ministering relationships with 500 people. And you know what? I don't want to be a staff-driven church. We want to be a community-driven church. We want to be a connection-driven church. We need every single person inside this church connecting, ministering, mentoring, and caring for the person beside them. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. We can't do it. It says that he puts you in a body so that every joint could supply. You're here for a reason. Don't just sit around and be a consumer. Get engaged, get involved, care for the person beside you. It's so vital and so important. And that's how we express the goodness of God, the grace of God, and God's beautiful, perfect plan. Is, you know, when it says, they will know you are my disciples by the love you have for one another. Love takes time. Love is intentional. Love is on purpose. But you know what? He is qualified, and he is in enabled us to love one another like he's loved us. Amen?
Amen. So if you guys want to stand, we're going to pray for you.
But we're going to give you a few practical handles, okay?
Right, just kidding. Yeah,
how great would it be to have 100% participation in small groups? Has anybody benefited from small groups? Just give me a yell. 100% participation in small group. Because you know what? I won't be able to have everyone over to my home to connect, and Madeline may not be able to have everyone home over to her home to connect, but you can connect in a small group. You can have meaningful relationships in a small group. You can have a giving and a receiving in small groups. You can be mentored, you can be ministered to in small groups. The other thing is we want to be very good and functional here, but we want that to extend to the community abroad. And so here's a little thing for you. We're going to be sending out a survey in the next week, and we want to do some capacity development in our church. We want to know what your skills are, what your gifts are, how can you serve the house, but more importantly, how can you serve our community? We live in a community that is needy. We live in a community that needs food stability, housing stability, emotional stability, spiritual stability. They need people to help them do their taxes. They need people to help their children become efficient in reading and writing. We live in a community that needs those kind of services and resources provided them. We have a big building here, and it shouldn't be just filled on Sunday and Wednesday. We should be a community outreach building. If you can do taxes, we need people to do a tax clinic for people. If you have been a teacher, or you can teach children phonetic reading and writing, we need, like, we really want to be very purposeful and very intentional about our engagement in this community. So when you get an email that asks you to do the survey, come on, folks, do the survey. Let's get functional, let's get active, let's get participating, and let's just move from beyond serving beyond here, but to serve outside those doors. Amen? Amen.